Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Lim, excuse for business, Nolan.
The flag salute will be led by Representative Esquivel.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be presented by the Salem Singers from the Willamette Valley area, directed by John Schmidt, and guests of Representative Vic Gilliam. Thank you very much to the Salem Singers for the beautiful, beautiful songs, and particularly that rendition of How Great Thou Art. Certainly one of my favorite songs. Well done. Courtesies. Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I direct your attention over to the side aisle where we have with us today Mr. Jin Lan, who is the president of the Oregon Fujian Sister State Association, and three of its board members, Mr. Merle Greenstein, Timmy Tsao, and Ed Young. These are our unofficial ambassadors with the Fujian Sister State, which is one of the provinces in the People's Republic of China. And they're here to witness as we deal with House Bill 2066 today. Thank you for being here with us. If you happen to be one of the several members of the Honorary Advisory Board to the Oregon Fujian Sister State Association, you may want to step over and say hello to them. And if you'd like to be on that Honorary Board, we'd love to have you join us. Thank you.
It is a delight to have you here today on behalf of the Fujian Sister State relationship with Oregon. Thank you for being here. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say another word about the Salem Singers and to thank you for your introduction of my guests. I too enjoyed the music, and it's also one of my favorites, and I felt that after their singing that perhaps we should take the offering and then just adjourn. I can see why my predecessor, Representative Max Sumner, and his wife Sandy are such fans. And I just wanted to be sure that they know how much we appreciated them coming and appreciate the Sumners for bringing them to our attention. There's two fellows that I would like to highlight from the group. And one is Wilbur Rickard. And I don't know which one Wilbur is. Maybe he'll wave to us. He's been with the group for 59 years. And also, this is particularly amazing, Mr. Speaker, but we have a special guest in the group today. It's Francis Wonderly. And Francis served in this body on the Ways and Means Committee in 1947 through 1949, and he is 93 years old today. So if we all give him a happy birthday wave, I think he would appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It is a delight to have you back. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. Visiting us today, standing at the side aisle here, are Mel Cheney and his son Nathan. Mel was here today testifying on H.J.R. 34, the colorectal cancer awareness bill that Representative Tomei and I will be bringing to this body next Monday, we hope. Mel is a Vietnam-era veteran. He is the director of the Community Cancer Center in Roseburg, a position which I have had the pleasure of working with him over the past 10 years or so. Mel is a perfect example of someone who comes to a community and dives in. In addition to his duties at the Cancer Center, he is also a Roseburg City Councilor. Nathan, his son, who's with him, is a sophomore at Roseburg High School. And if he looks like a tough guy, it's because he is. He's a football player and wrestler and enjoying his day at the Capitol. Please let him know you see him and welcome them to the Capitol. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I direct you to the side gallery. I want to introduce one of my constituents, David Fisher. David is the younger brother of my legislative assistant, Joel Fisher. David grew up in the district, living there for 16 years, and currently he's a sophomore at St. John's College in Annapolis, Maryland. David is well known by his neighbors for raising chickens, goats, and ducks, although he is a fan of the OSU Beavers. Neighborhood children enjoy David's urban farm. Welcome, David. Good to have you.
Thank you, Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to introduce a couple of longtime friends who are seated in the back gallery, Tim and Diane West, who are constituents of the representative from Clackamas, Boring, and Estacada. Tim has retired from a career in the institutional trust business with which I worked with him at several institutions. Please extend courtesies of the building to him today.
Thank you. And Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope that you will join me in welcoming two of my constituents who are here today up in the side aisle. Kathy Connor, who is a member of Benton County's League of Women Voters and devoted her professional life to teaching the children of Corvallis. She's a retired teacher in Corvallis. And Jean Raymond, who's a member of the Benton County Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Welcome to the Capitol.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you'll notice, coming into my left, out in your left front, are six honorary pages from my district. They're here from Mid Valley Christian Academy: Megan, Stephanie, Mary, Missy, Summer, and Mary again. And they will be future constituents of mine, hopefully. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And it is my pleasure today to introduce you all to Rachel Cummings. She is a junior at David Douglas High School. She's very interested in pursuing mathematics and politics. It's an appropriate place to be. And she's been maintaining a 4.0 grade point average and doing a superb job. It's great to have you here. Are there further courtesies? Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate. First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HCR 6 in memoriam Doreen Margolin, 1947 to 2007. HCR 7 in memoriam Doreen Margolin, 1947 to 2007. HCR 8 in memoriam former State Senator Ted Hollick, 1921 to 2006. HCR 9 congratulating Lapine on becoming Oregon's newest city. HCR 10 in memoriam Robert Y. Thornton, 1910 to 2003. HJM 15 urging President of the United States and Congress to fully equip Oregon National Guard and Air National Guard units. HJR 25 commending firefighters of Oregon. HJR 26 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to tax expenditure. HJR 27 urging President, Congress, and government leaders and law enforcement officials to take certain actions relating to illegal immigration. HJR 28 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to lottery funds. HJR 29 expressing need to expand foreign exchange programs for Oregon students. HJR 30 demanding that American Museum of Natural History return Willamette meteorite to Oregon. HJR 32 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to initiative petitions. HJR 33 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to redistricting. HJR 36 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to corporate surplus kicker revenues. HJR 37 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to referral of constitutional amendments. HJR 38 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to state lottery. HJR 39 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to eligibility for farm and home loans from Oregon War Veterans Fund. HJR 40 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to costs of complying with citizens' initiatives. HJR 41 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to redistricting. HJR 42 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to Oregon Budget Reserve Fund. HJR 43 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to voter registration. HJR 44 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to taxation. HJR 45 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to maximum allowable property taxes. HJR 46 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to restoration of revenue loss when federal forest reserve receipts are discontinued. HJR 47 proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to tax imposed for public safety purposes. HJR 48 designating Jory soil as official state soil. HJR 51 recognizing contributions made to communities by persons with developmental disabilities and recommending that savings in the governor's proposed budget be used to provide services for persons with developmental disabilities. HJR 52 proposes an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to protest at funerals. HJR 53 urging Oregonians to divest of certain investment holdings. HM1 urging Congress to support amendments that remove 21-inch DBH rule in certain national forest plans.
Measures read first time are transferred to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Propositions and motions. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended, that House Bill 2066 be read third time immediately? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance the order of business to third reading of House bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2066 relating to the Sister State Committee.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2066. Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 2066 establishes a new organization for and a committee for sister state associations. Presently, there are four sister states that we have relationships with our state. One is in China, one is Taiwan, one is Japan, and one is in Korea. The legislature also maintains sister state or sister relationships with Honduras and the parliament of the German state of Lower Saxony. Colleagues, when we have delegations that come here from foreign countries, there are certain diplomatic protocols and expectations that aren't common to the way that we do business. When we go to another country and we go and we meet with their leaders, there is a formality that shows honor and respect, and it is very important that we be able to do the same when delegations come here. And by establishing the Sister State Association Committee, we will have a group in our body that are prepared to meet with these delegations and extend the kind of courtesy that is appropriate to develop further relationships with these other nations and these other organizations. In addition to this committee, this bill also puts in the statute the Oregon Fujian Sister State Associations or Committee, which is called the Joint Committee on Fujian Sister State. This is an existing committee that we have presently that has helped us develop better relationships with our sister state of Fujian in China. It's important that that continue. We've had one trip to China that was at the invitation of the Fujian government as a result of us establishing this joint committee last year. It's been very good for our relationship, for building Quanxi with Chinese, with our Chinese friends and business men and investors. And we would ask that this bill be passed so that we can formalize that committee as well as the sister state committee in general. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in favor of this bill. Having been a member of a state trip when I was a high school principal to Lower Saxony with Boley, that culture exchange was an important part of an interaction with our state and the state of Lower Saxony in Germany. We began an exchange program with students going back and forth for a number of years, which really gave a better understanding our students and our community to another community across the ocean. These relationships are very important for our state, and I think this is a great idea, so thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Richardson, do you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, only to mention that there is, in preliminary stage, another delegation to China that is being planned for this September. And this is a tremendous opportunity for members of this body and for the Senate members to join in representing Oregon and go along with business leaders from Oregon to establish greater relationships, to develop trade and economic connections that will be beneficial for our state as well as for China. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2066A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2001 relating to auditing of tax expenditures. House Bill 2002 relating to insurance. House Bill 2003 relating to Oregon prescription drug program. House Bill 2004 relating to Oregon pre-kindergarten program appropriated money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2005 relating to the task force on open source adoption and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2006 relating to state contracts for certain minerals. House Bill 2014 relating to solemnization of marriage. House Bill 2015 relating to annual report of professional negligence claims made against licenses of board medical examiners. House Bill 2016 relating to smoking. House Bill 2017 relating to child custody. House Bill 2018 relating to local community rights. Right to no regulatory programs. House Bill 2019 relating to system development changes. House Bill 2020 relating to criminal compulsion. House Bill 2801 relating to stem cell research and appropriating money. House Bill 2911 relating to elections and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2912 relating to elections and appropriating money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2913 relating to tribal courts and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2914 relating to general assistance program and appropriating money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2915 relating to penalty wages for employers' failure to pay final wage when due. House Bill 2917 relating to mental health court departments. House Bill 2925 relating to wave energy and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2931 relating to hydroelectric power. House Bill 2932 relating to land within urban growth boundaries. House Bill 2937 relating to hepatitis C. House Bill 2953 relating to health benefit plan coverage for bone mass measurement. House Bill 2958 relating to in-stream water rights lease. House Bill 2970 relating to wildlife violator compact. House Bill 2971 relating to methods of taking wildlife. House Bill 2972 relating to pesticide use reporting system. House Bill 2973 relating to forest smoke management and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2974 relating to seismic to scenic highway exemptions. House Bill 2975 relating to management of state forests and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2976 relating to methamphetamine appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2977 relating to public bodies. House Bill 2978 relating to areas near pesticide application sites. House Bill 2979 relating to children who do not attend public school and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2980 relating to lien interest of timber producers. House Bill 2981 relating to nonprofit organizations appropriate money. House Bill 2992 relating to registration fees. House Bill 2984 relating to scrap metal. House Bill 2995 relating to transmission of criminal offender information to state police. House Bill 2096 relating to gaming events conducted by tax-exempt organizations. House Bill 2097 relating to exemptions from prevailing wage rate law. House Bill 2988 relating to mass transit districts. House Bill 2989 relating to legal services and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2990 relating to traffic enforcement. House Bill 2991 relating to title transfer fees. House Bill 2992 relating to division of resource land. House Bill 2993 relating to in-home care services and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2994 relating to child welfare records. House Bill 2995 relating to protected information about individuals with mental illness and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2996 relating to education. House Bill 2997 relating to Lane County Area Commission on Transportation. House Bill 2998 relating to fabrication of non-standard items specifically for public works projects. House Bill 2999 relating to workers' compensation insurance premium rates for employees provided by temporary employment agency. House Bill 3000 relating to air quality appropriate money declaring an emergency. House Bill 3001 relating to National Sex Offender Registry and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3002 relating to electronic monitoring of sex offenders and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3003 relating to prohibition of publicly funded treatment of erectile dysfunction for sex offenders. House Bill 3004 relating to commitment of violent sexual predators. House Bill 3005 relating to sex offending reporting. House Bill 3006 relating to designation of predatory sex offenders. House Bill 3007 relating to crisis intervention training for police officers. House Bill 3008 relating to Department of Public Safety standards and training. House Bill 3009 relating to Oregon Veterans Home and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3010 relating to freedom to choose my school grant program. House Bill 3011 relating to annexations by cities. House Bill 3012 relating to consent to annexation for extraterritorial service. House Bill 3013 relating to incorporation of city. House Bill 3014 relating to formation of a city. House Bill 3015 relating to school finance and declaring emergency. House Bill 3016 relating to community mental health housing fund board appropriate money. House Bill 3017 relating to application of fluoride varnishes for children. House Bill 3018 relating to transportation and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by 3/5 majority. House Bill 3019 relating to reserve fund. House Bill 3020 relating to roadside memorial signs. House Bill 3021 relating to driving while fatigued. House Bill 3222 relating to criminal negligent homicide. House Bill 3023 relating to earned income tax credits. House Bill 3024 relating to integration of Portland State University and Oregon Health and Science University and appropriating money. House Bill 3025 relating to land use planning. House Bill 3026 relating to metals. House Bill 3027 relating to support services for targeted small businesses appropriating money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3028 relating to corporate surplus revenues and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3029 relating to regulation of mortgage lending and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3035 relating to charitable donations of tax refunds appropriating money and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3036 relating to subtractions from taxable income for donations and recreational activity. House Bill 3041 relating to wildlife management. House Bill 3042 relating to college savings network accounts. House Bill 3043 relating to forests. House Bill 3044 relating to fire suspension fund prescribing effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval of a three-fifths majority. House Bill 3045 relating to short-term vehicle rental operations, corporate money providing for revenue raising that requires approval of a three-fifths majority. House Bill 3046 relating to property tax exemption for natural gas pipeline extension projects and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3047 relating to taxation for local public roads. House Bill 3048 relating to surplus refunds. House Bill 3049 relating to surplus revenues. House Bill 3480 relating to school district capital projects, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or pass the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 5011 relating to financial administration of the Columbia River Gorge Commission, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 5034 relating to financial administration of the Land Use Board of Appeals, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2150 relating to minor decor operations. House Bill 2229 relating to interest on property tax refunds and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2236 relating to property tax refunds and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2253 relating to agency enforcement authority. House Bill 2259 relating to firing a retaliation complaint under occupational safety laws and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2260 relating to unlawful employment practices. House Bill 2580 relating to the Western Oregon Onion Commission and declare an emergency. House Bill 2589 relating to lobbying.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk will read the bill in short summary.
House Bill 2075 relating to landscaping corrects erroneous terminology and landscaping statutes.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2075. Those who are the opinion, the bill should pass, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2075, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read next bill in summary.
House Bill 2079, relating to regulation of accountancy, requires Oregon Board of Accountancy to establish by rule requirements for public accountancy experience for person taking examination for licensure as public accountant.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2079. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes off the floor. House Bill 2079, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2117, relating to landscaping, changes terminology regarding individuals and businesses performing landscaping services.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2117. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. House Bill 2117, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2169, relating to fees for licenses issued by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, eliminates prorated license for fee for licenses that are issued by Oregon Liquor Control Commission for less than full year.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2169. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? McPherson votes aye. Representative Dalem, how do you vote? Dalem votes aye. Representative Greg Smith, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Representative Wisnett votes aye. House Bill 2169, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2242, relating to State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, revises various provisions relating to practice of chiropractic and chiropractic assisting.
Question now arises from on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2242. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. House Bill 2242, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2565, relating to minimum energy efficiency standards and declaring an emergency, establish minimum energy efficiency standards for certain products.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2565. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes aye. House Bill 2565, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2239, relating to central assessment for property tax purposes, modifies procedures for reviewing assessment rolls, correcting clerical errors and omissions, and adding omitted property to assessment rolls that are prepared by the Department of Revenue.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2239A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. House Bill 2239A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2283, relating to the Oregon Investment Council and declaring an emergency, authorized governor to appoint member of Oregon Investment Council who also serves on Public Employees Retirement Board.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2283A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greg Smith, how do you vote? Representative Smith votes aye. House Bill 2283A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5052, relating to financial administration of Oregon State Board of Nursing and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 5052. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 5052 changes the fee structure for certified nursing specialists and seeks ratification of changes made administratively during the 05-07 biennium. The 2005 legislature enacted Senate Bill 460, which allowed clinical nurse specialists, or CNS, to prescribe medications. Fees were reduced for initial certification and renewal of CNS certification in order to keep fees more equitable with other advanced practice license types. The initial prescriptive authority application and renewal of prescriptive authority have been set at the same level as nurse practitioners with the same authority. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5052.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Nathanson, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. House Bill 5052, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2102, relating to law enforcement contracts, contacts, policy and data review committee, and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2102. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2102 comes to you from the Judiciary Committee, where it passed unanimously. This bill makes Law Enforcement Contacts Policy and Data Review Committee permanent and transfers the responsibility for the committee from the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission to Portland State University. The 2001 Legislative Assembly created the Law Enforcement Contacts Policy and Data Review Committee, consisting of 11 members appointed by the governor. The purpose of the committee is to receive and analyze demographic data to ensure that law enforcement agencies perform their mission without inequitable or unlawful discrimination based on race, color, or national origin. The Oregon Criminal Justice Commission contracts with Portland State University to administer the program and pays PSU with general fund dollars. ODOT has received a federal grant to collect data on arrests as they relate to race, color, and national origin, and these funds will be used to pay PSU to run the program. House Bill 2102 is a very good bill and deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2102, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2170, relating to temporary letters of authority issued by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2170. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill. House Bill 2170. Comes from your Business Labor Committee. And this bill allows the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to issue temporary authorities to operate to all license applicants. Currently, only applicants taking over an existing business or opening a new grocery store are eligible for a temporary authority. This bill also extends the length of time that these authorities are valid to 180 days. Currently, these authorities are valid for a maximum of 90 days. The concept for this bill was from a recommendation of the OLCC Joint Task Force on Saturation and problem areas. The task force included representatives from local governments, neighborhood associations, law enforcement, and businesses. This concept was included in a bill passed by both the House and Senate last session, but vetoed by the governor because provisions unrelated to this concept. This bill supports economic development by making the licensing process more efficient for liquor license applicants. Well over 90% of current applications are from responsible, qualified business operators who are granted a license by OLCC. These businesses will be able to start selling alcohol at their businesses while their application is being investigated, allowing alcohol sales at business 60 to 90 days sooner than under existing laws. This bill allows neighbors, local law enforcement, and OLCC to see a business in operation before committing to an annual license. Currently, these groups have to rely on applicants' plans and proposals instead of actual experience with the business when making recommendations or decisions to grant or deny a license. This bill maintains local governments' and neighbors' ability to participate in the licensing process. OLCC will continue to require a recommendation from the local government and will continue to seek public input before deciding to grant or deny license application. This bill will maintain OLCC's ability to protect public safety. Temporary authorities are not a license and can be revoked without prior administrative hearings if the OLCC reasonably believes there is a basis to refuse a license. Violations by the applicant when operating under a temporary authority are one basis to refuse the license application. Extended time period allows OLCC more time to review and process applications. Here is your I vote.
Further discussion, Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I voted against this bill in committee, as did another committee member, and a number of you have asked me about that no vote, and so I wanted to explain a couple of concerns about the bill. We had quite a bit of testimony in committee from neighborhood associations who already have problems with alcohol licensing in their communities, and we're very concerned about this bill because of its expansion of the temporary license provisions. As the carrier said, right now it's only under limited circumstances that you can apply for one of these licenses. This bill opens it up so that any applicant can apply for a temporary license. And in addition to that, it doubles the length of time for which these licenses can be granted. The witnesses that we heard from told us that they already have problems, even under the current licensing provisions, with having saturation in their neighborhoods of too many of these establishments or an inability to actually have much clout in the licensing process when they are opposed to licensing. So they feel quite strongly that this expansion is going to make it even more difficult for them. And beyond that, we really did not, in my view, hear much testimony about why this change is actually needed. And finally, there was a task force, and we were told that this was a consensus recommendation of that task force, and I specifically asked, were there any dissenting votes? And they told us, they didn't tell us anything about dissent until after we had heard the bill. And then after that hearing, we got a letter saying, in fact, there were one or two dissenting votes from the neighborhood representatives on the task force. So it seems somewhat disingenuous to call it a consensus recommendation. So I think for all of those reasons that I would urge you strongly to take a hard look at this bill, House Bill 2170, and I would love to see some opposition to the bill because I think these are really valid concerns. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Kotek.
To the bill, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill.
Thank you. I rise in opposition to House Bill 2170 today. Colleagues, I draw your attention to a letter you should have received probably a week or so ago that's hopefully in your bill file, signed by myself and four of your colleagues in opposition to the bill. I hope you've had a chance to read it. It talks about the impact on citizen input into the liquor license application process. I testified against this bill in committee, along with Representative Dingfelder, and have very significant concerns about it. It's a very broad change to our current liquor license process. It could allow a coffee shop to become a bar overnight. It will affect every one of our communities, and I think we need to take a very, very strong look at what this bill is actually going to do. As Representative Rosenbaum has said, any applicant who comes in will be able to get a temporary authority to serve alcohol for 180 days. It's my understanding from listening to the testimony from the OLCC that there would be a cursory background check to make sure there are no felonies and things like that. But then that business could start serving. And we have police officers in our community that are saying a lot can go wrong in 180 days. And that's what this bill would do. It would give that immediate pouring authority to those businesses. It's unclear what the compelling reason is for the need for this. We heard from citizens in our district that said we need the time to talk with businesses before they start serving to make sure that we have a good neighbor agreement, a working relationship with businesses that come in. It would be nice to talk about this bill in terms of other exemptions. This is any applicant. What about topless bars? What about bars? What about places you just want to have lotto terminals? None of that is covered in this bill. Any and all applicants will get serving authority pretty much overnight. And I urge you to vote no on this bill. And I just want to close by reading some notes from one of the testimonies from a constituent of mine. This is from Mel Vitsky from Northeast Portland. He says, "We don't have a well-paid lobbyist to represent us, but we do expect the OLCC to do its job of representing the best interests of the citizens of our state and our neighborhoods. You are not doing your job unless you give equal consideration to the concerns of the citizens of our state. At this time, the Cully neighborhood is saturated with liquor outlets. Within a few blocks of the Rigler and Harvey Scott Elementary Schools, there are 8 liquor outlets, 4 of which are bars. 2 of these have topless dancers. If you approve a House Bill 2170, you will encourage even more saturation in our neighborhoods. Colleagues, I urge you to vote no on this bill."
Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
Colleagues, I urge you to think carefully about your vote on this bill and ultimately to vote your conscience. This bill has been purported as an economic development bill, but in fact, it really isn't that. Think of how things work now. If a new licensee wants to start selling alcoholic beverages, they can get a 90-day permit to sell beer and wine. And you get to see how they perform selling beer and wine. And the neighborhood has, in the city of Portland, a 30-day time to respond to that applicant and to provide input. This bill, for no apparent reason, does 2 things. As we've heard, it changes the time frame for a temporary permit from 90 days to 180 days. But the other thing it does is it allows temporary permit holders, to begin right away selling hard liquor, essentially to create a bar without any prior review of that applicant. This is something that has my neighborhood associations very much up in arms. And I suspect for each of you, this has the potential of having significant impact on your neighborhoods. It seems to me the process we have now works and is working and doesn't hinder economic development in any significant way. But what this does is it takes away one more opportunity to observe these enterprises in operation before we grant them the permanent license to sell hard liquor. It's much easier to stop something before it starts than it is to stop it after it's been rolling for 6 months. This has the potential for having serious deleterious impacts on our neighborhoods And colleagues, I urge your no vote on House Bill 2170. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Berger.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, we heard a lot of testimony in the Business and Labor Committee regarding this bill, and it is true that there were many neighbors who came in who had been negatively impacted by too many liquor establishments basically in their neighborhood, and they are very unhappy about this particular piece of legislation. But I would submit to you it's a pretty simple thing, and if you look at it a little differently, you'll find that it makes a certain amount of sense. I would call your attention to the House bill as written and look at Section 1, Part 2. It says, the Commission may refuse to issue a temporary letter of authority and may at any time, summarily and without prior administrative proceedings, revoke a temporary letter of authority. In other words, the way it works now, if you buy an existing bar, you're going to get that temporary authority automatically. But if you go out and create one from scratch, you aren't going to. I submit to you that it's very hard to open a coffee shop and turn it into a bar from a new business perspective. If you're going to open a bar, I think that the neighbors need to know you're going to open a bar and that the OLCC is going to give a temporary license and watch you like a hawk to see if you can run it. It doesn't prove anything to open as a coffee shop and then convert to a bar. Remember, if you buy an existing bar, you automatically get the temporary. This change is only for folks who are going to set out to build a new business that wasn't existing before. There are lots of opportunities for neighbors to talk about a bar opening in their neighborhood, and they should. And under city authorities and county authorities and all of the other regulations that go into this business, there's plenty of time for input. This is an intelligent streamlining. It makes lots of sense, and I support it. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I am not going to support this bill. My understanding is that the current practice is that a restaurant cannot sell beer and wine on day one or alcohol, but a grocery store can, and so it sounds on its face unfair. The reason is the off-site use of the beer and wine or, well, in restaurants we don't sell liquor, or excuse me, in grocery stores we don't sell liquor in this state. So what this bill does, I think, though, is overcorrects to the other side, where grocery stores will continue to have their right to sell beer and wine on day one, but now restaurants will get the new right of beer and wine, which might be completely fair, and in my book would be, but they will also get the liquor ability on day one. I've spoken with my neighborhood associations. Generally speaking, this comes up around the use of a liquor license as it relates to a new dancing establishment. This is the opportunity for the neighbors in their minds, since we have Supreme Court interpretations that we can't get into zoning and other things around those particular establishments. This is their one opportunity to have a conversation about whether they want a new dancing establishment in their neighborhood is the liquor license issue. So I feel that we could probably have a compromise at some point around beer and wine, but I feel like liquor on day one is a right now that exceeds what restaurants are facing, which is discrimination. Thank you.
Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I haven't really made up my mind which way I'm going to vote on this bill, but I would just like the new dancing establishment issue has come up several times in the conversation this morning about this bill, and I would just like to point out one thing. The OLCC does regulate the serving of alcohol, but they don't regulate, nor does anybody else, the nude dancing aspect. And one of the things that I would like to point out, and as this happened in Tualatin, is that if a bar has applied for an OLCC license and they are planning to have nude dancers, if they don't get their OLCC license, they will simply open as a juice bar. and then you lower the age of attendance from the age of 21 to the age of 18. Because now, as a juice bar, anybody that is 18 and older, as long, because of the nude dancing, anybody that's 18 and older may go in to that establishment. So to try to put the two together doesn't really quite work. And I have personal experience with this. Not that I was opening a nude bar, but as mayor of Wilsonville, because we had a bar that made a transition to try to build up his business. I'm trying to figure out the words to use. To try to build up his business, he did start having nude dancers. It created a huge controversy in the community. He reached an agreement with some community leaders, and then he went back on his agreement and brought the dancers back in after his sales went down. His sales did go up, and so he was able to go ahead and continue to operate. Even if he would have lost his OLCC license, though, the problem is that he could have turned it into a juice bar and maintained the nude dancers. So it didn't really, and we don't have the authority at the local government level to be able to zone for that kind of activity. So it becomes a real sticky wicket. So don't use that necessarily as your reason for voting against this bill, because the nude dancing issue is a whole different realm. Thank you.
Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I oppose the bill, and I wanted to. I thank Representative Berger from Salem for bringing to our attention the grounds upon which the Commission may refuse to issue this temporary letter of authority. I just direct your attention to the statute. My understanding in the bill, it reads the Commission may refuse to issue that temporary authority if it reasonably believes that any of the grounds for refusing a license under ORS 471.313 or canceling or suspending a license under ORS 471.315 exist. If you look at those statutes, and my understanding of them is that the primary grounds that those lay out for refusing temporary authority have to do with the background of the applicant, namely criminal history, etc. So I think that the authority here for refusal is not as broad. It certainly hasn't been exercised as broadly as those who oppose this bill would like it to be. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the carrier.
Question for the carrier. Does carrier yield?
Of course, yes.
He does.
Thank you. In the staff measure summary, it talks about needing more time to investigate the applicant. Can you give me an idea of what the conversation, why OLCC needed extra time to investigate and get public opinion? And is this the main reason for the bill?
Well, Mr. Speaker, you've heard a lot of the reasons why we need to investigate people, and they needed more time, and I think expanding it actually is a good thing and helps protect neighborhoods. But we've heard a long list of things of why we need to investigate people more thoroughly, and the more time you have to do it, the better. Just one moment, though, please. And my very able administrator has told me that if the local government has not provided a recommendation, which frequently I understand is the case, then it gives the state more time to, OLCC more time to investigate the applicant.
Thank you.
Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know this is a sensitive topic.
To the bill.
To the bill, please. And I voted for this bill in committee, and I will be voting for it on the floor as well. I really listened to the testimony regarding, you know, a particular neighborhood, and I'm sure there's many neighborhoods around the state that are similar. But I don't think that this bill really, maybe it was supposed to, but this bill doesn't address their issues. It really addresses something else altogether. And it comes to mind that in looking at the statutes that the representative earlier spoke of the statute, specifically 471.313, that the OLCC already has the authority to refuse licenses, including temporary licenses, for a whole range of different reasons. And some of those reasons are a history of serious and persistent problems involving disturbances, lewd or unlawful activities, or noise, either in the premises proposed to be licensed or involving patrons of the establishment in the immediate vicinity. And there's just a whole list that they, if the applicant is not of good repute and moral character. And I submit that really the neighborhood's problem is that the OLCC is not implementing by rule the intent of these statutes. And I suggested that instead of saying that the OLCC may do these things, that maybe it should be changed to they shall. But notwithstanding that, I believe the problem is getting the OLCC to implement the current statutes the way they are. There's plenty of protections in there for neighborhoods, and it's unfortunate that this comes to the floor as a neighborhood issue that's not being addressed by our state agency, which I think they have the authority to do under current statute. Therefore, I am supporting the bill. Thank you.
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I've been listening to the arguments pro and con about this, and it seems to me that some of what we are most concerned about from a neighborhood perspective would not necessarily be solved with this bill or even with the current bill. Some of what I've been concerned about in looking into this over the past week and on hearing the discussion on the floor is what relates to what is the agency's ability to enforce the rules and make good decisions? How much activity can any one single neighborhood absorb? And do we distinguish between different kinds of businesses that serve alcohol? Because some of the discussions are about, is this a place where you play lottery games? Is this a restaurant? Is this some other kind of entertainment facility? Until we can get to some of those things that really cause the neighborhood problems, I don't think this is the particular vehicle to vote no, because it still doesn't address neighborhood saturation or types of activities. So I will vote yes on this bill.
Representative Kotek, did you wish to speak again?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
You are allowed to rise again since there's no one else in the queue. Question
Thank
of
you.
The carrier, does carry you? He does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative. Was there discussion in the committee about additional funds to process what could be a flood of new applications and how the commission plans to deal with that?
No.
Thank you. To the bill.
To the bill.
And I appreciate the being allowed to speak again. I think it's really important to think about, in this case, colleagues have mentioned that there are problems with the Liquor Control Commission and how they are dealing with issues in neighborhoods. We heard that from our constituents. I'm sure you do, too. What kind of message do we send if we pass a bill that says we're going to allow people to start serving and ask questions later? And I think we really need to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Shoffler, do you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, please. Well, to address just a few of the things, currently, if you purchase an existing establishment with a liquor license, you get to start selling right out of the gate without any questions being asked. So that already happens. But I can assure you, the amount of money people invest in these businesses, they're not just going to go pour a bunch of money into something and they think they're going to make a buck on it. And I've worked in a tavern when I was in college. There's a lot of moving parts. It's a big investment. It's a big risk. And you want to talk about some of the problems facing these neighborhoods, that's fine. I just want to go over a couple of things that the OLCC does have authority to do. Selling, OLCC has authority to address these problems. This is an OLCC document. Selling or serving alcohol to visibly intoxicated persons. Selling alcohol to minors. Adults making alcohol available to minors, also known as furnishing, selling alcohol between 2:30 a.m. and 7 a.m., licensee, employee, or agents of licensee drinking on duty.
illegal drug use or sale associated with a liquor license business, trespassing on private property, fights and assaults, excessive or obtrusive noise that violates local noise ordinance, vandalism, public drunkenness, public urination, prostitution. Some of the things they do not have any authority over: nude dancing, other forms of legal entertainment, I would add, and expression there, litter other than alcoholic beverage containers and related litter, advertising not related to alcohol, inadequate parking, traffic congestion, devaluation of property, zoning related issues, saturation of liquor outlets in an area. Now, and there's a long process to deal with that for the, not just for at the state level, but in the city of Portland, we have the time, place, and manner ordinance, which the bill that was referred to earlier passed this House floor 2 years ago, which had this language, which would have preempted time, place, and manner, and it had something like 41 vote yes votes, went to the Senate and was vetoed by the governor because time, place, and manner was going to be preempted. And what types of nuisance activities are included that this deals with? Operation of sound-producing equipment as prohibited, disorderly conduct, offensive, littering, drinking of public rights of way unless officially authorized, interference with vehicle ingress and egress, alcoholic beverage violations in parks where violation is tied to specific licensee, discharge of a firearm at the establishment. These are some of it. Now, look, if we want to deal with these problems, and I know we all do, I have these in my district, too, in southeast Portland, and I'm sure it's creeping out into the burbs as we speak, but if we want to address these issues, that's fine. Then let's address them. Passing or defeating this bill doesn't do anything for these folks. So even if it does go to defeat, we've done nothing to help these folks. If it does pass, those people that are putting this great investment into these businesses will be able to open their doors and go to work immediately. I have 12,000 acres that was just put into the urban growth boundary a couple years out in my area. There's a couple brand new restaurants just opened on Sunnyside Road. Incredible investments. Why? Because we have some problems in some very small parts of this state. Should we put the entire state on hold? And if the state and the city are not addressing these issues, then, as it's already been referred to here, then let's do something about it. Where's the bill? I don't see it. If you want to address saturation, let's do it. I have no problem with that. If you want to help law enforcement, local government deal with these problems, then let's do it. But why stand in the way of a legitimate business that we, by the way, we all go to these businesses. Not all of us imbibe in alcoholic beverages, and that's fine. But we all go there and eat dinner, and the vast majority of us do have a beer, a glass of wine, or a cocktail. So at least at times. So, Mr. Speaker, I urge your I vote. And I'm sorry we had to spend so much time on this little licensing processing bill. I'll be glad to hear a last call on this bill.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Butler votes aye. House Bill 2170, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2188, relating to immunization registries.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2188A. Representative Bruhn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2188A comes to you unanimously from both the Health Care Policy Subcommittee and the full Health Care Committee. 2188 deals with the state's Alert Child Immunization Registry. Alert collects immunization information from both public and private health care sectors and distills it down to one complete record for each Oregon child. This bill, 2188, simply expands the definition of authorized users to include parents or guardians of kids under 18, clients 18 or older, and colleges and universities for the purpose of sharing immunization records through registries. It's a good bill, should pass. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bruin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Representative Cannon, off the floor. House Bill 2188A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2468, relating to Federal Forest Legacy Program.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2468. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today I bring House Bill 2468 to this chamber for its consideration. House Bill 2468 will allow Oregon to fully participate in the Forest Legacy Program of the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service. The Forest Legacy Program is designed to support state and local efforts to protect forest lands from potential conversion to non-forest uses. Purchased or donated lands from willing sellers or donors may access forest legacy funds for acquisition or protection of forest land through the use of conservation easements and fee simple purchase. The Forest Legacy Program assures that both traditional uses of private lands and the public benefits of America's forests are protected for future generations. It provides an incentive-based mechanism to maintain a working forest, protect important fish and wildlife habitat, conserve watershed functions, and maintain recreation opportunities. The program emphasizes protection of significant forests that can be effectively protected and managed. Colleagues, last session, for those of you that remember, in this chamber, we passed legislation allowing participation in this program. But that legislation contained a nearly disabling restriction that requires proposed forest legacy land area be wholly within an urban growth boundary. I spoke against that restriction on the floor, and today I am here to remove or propose that we vote to remove that restriction. This restriction excludes almost all forest properties that would normally be considered in this program. House Bill 2468 simply eliminates that restriction. House Bill 2468 represents something all Oregon can appreciate. I hope you will join me in voting aye on House Bill 2468, which is aimed at protecting Oregon's future forests. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request permission to use a visual aid.
Senator Morgan, you request permission to use a visual aid. Is there objection? If you don't mind, Representative Morgan, we're going to go to the co-carrier, Representative Burley, and then we'll come back to you.
I would be very happy with that.
Thank you, Representative.
Would the co-carrier wish to address the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was starting to wonder if I'd forgotten how things work here, but thanks. Colleagues, let me start by just giving you a couple of statistics here to set the stage. Nationwide, forest land per capita has declined by half, from 5 acres to less than 2.7 acres per person. Here in the Pacific Northwest, that rate of decline is actually more than that. It's about two-thirds. Almost 1 million acre of private forest land were lost to development each year, again, this is nationally, from 1992 to 1997. Projections suggest that another 26 million acres will be lost to development by the year 2030. I believe that we as Oregonians stake great importance in our forests. These vast tracts of land provide opportunities for both recreation and revenue, and they are an integral part of working Oregon. Forest land in Oregon is now at risk of fragmentation and development. It is essential that we provide tools for the preservation of this valuable resource. Although there is no quick fix to this program or problem, one successful tool in other states has been the Federal Forest Legacy Program. Representative Holvey explained much of this. I don't want to repeat what he said, but I do want to point out one thing. The landowner participation in the Forest Legacy Program is voluntary. I want to repeat that. The landowner participation in this program is voluntary. It's a willing seller, willing buyer program. The other thing I want to point out is that the state has to develop what's known as an assessment of need. Now, I was asked a question, and a good example of this is there's some property over in Central Oregon. It used to be part of Willamette Industries' Subtle Lake Tree Farm. When Weyerhaeuser bought Willamette Industries out, of course, they acquired their properties. There's a very nice piece of forest land east of Green Ridge in Jefferson County that was bought by a private family individual, which is fine. They have private property rights. They may do with it as they want. The question, though, was if they get, for example, a destination resort overlay on that property, could they also get monies through the Forest Legacy Program? And I would submit to you that that is not the case, because the assessment of need that the state has to prepare, which is a public process, has public hearings. One of the things that that assessment of need does is it sets priorities. Why are we implementing the Forest Legacy Program in the state of Oregon? And I would submit to you that one of those priorities, as per the program itself, is to maintain these large blocks of working forest land. So I think that what is a better example, you'll recall the Community Forest Authority Bill that we passed unanimously in this chamber in 2005. We are currently, Deschutes County has created what I think is the first community forest authority in the nation, certainly in the state. They are in the process of negotiating with a landowner over 33,000 acres of what used to be known as the Bull Springs Tree Farm. It used to be owned by Crown Pacific. It's now nicknamed the Skyline Forest. As those negotiations go forward, this policy, this program, could be very helpful in the total package to enable us, through the Community Forest Authority, to be able to acquire those 33,000 acres immediately west of Bend to provide opportunities for timber output, jobs, wildlife habitat, clean water, clean air, and recreational opportunities. So, folks, it's a good program, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Chair would now like to recognize Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would again request permission to use a visual aid.
She again has a request to use a visual aid, and this time, without objection, so granted.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, on your desk this morning, you were delivered a map of the state of Oregon, and it looks probably exactly like the one that I'm holding up here. And what this map represents, if you'll take it out and take a look at it, is the ownership patterns in the state of Oregon. And it's no secret that in the state of Oregon, we have a great shortage of privately owned land. On this map, the land that has no color to it, the white land, is the land that's actually owned by the citizens of the state of Oregon. The land that you see in black is land that's in public ownership. It isn't part of the taxable land base. It isn't part of the developable land base. It's predominantly federal lands that are under the jurisdiction of the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, but it also includes tribal lands. It also includes a small percentage of lands that are owned by the county. As I make the points that I'm going to make here this morning, I ask you to keep this picture of Oregon on the front of your desk and keep your eyes on it. House Bill 2468 is an enlargement of the Forest Legacy Program. Very simplistically, Forest Legacy takes our federal tax dollars and uses them to buy private land and put some kind of restrictions on it that limit its uses. The main users of the Forest Legacy Program are the land trust groups. Examples of those are the Trust for Public Lands and the Nature Conservancy. It has, every time a piece of land is put under the auspices of the Forest Legacy Program, it gets taken out of the land base that's available in Oregon for development and for production. Every time we take a piece out of the private land base, we limit Oregon's future for economic development. During the last session, this program was put in place so that it could be used by urban areas because it actually is a viable funding source for green space in urban areas. So if you represent an urban area, you already have the access to use this program. In the rural areas, the part of land that's currently available to be used for Forest Legacy is a great part of that is what we call the oak savannas. In the rural areas, these are the areas that have been identified, certainly in Southwest Oregon, in the comprehensive land use plans to be used for future residential development. So if we allow those lands again to be taken out of the private land base and put into some kind of restricted use, we limit the ability to be able to develop them in the future. Colleagues, and this is another negative impact on the rural land base. When these pieces are picked off parcel by parcel and put into some kind of restricted situation, it's a customer that's lost for businesses in small rural communities. It's somebody that doesn't come in anymore and buy insurance for the local insurance business. They don't come in anymore and buy a pickup truck or some piece of equipment from the local car dealership. It has a negative connotation. This bill is bad for rural Oregon. It compounds the problems that we have in the state around developable land that is hugely complicated right now because of the federal lands issue, and I urge you to vote no on the bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Holvey, do you wish to close?
Yes, I do, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much. Colleagues, this I guess I would argue that this bill is good for rural Oregon, quite the opposite of what you've just heard. And speaking of buildable land, you know, if we have pressure to create community forests within our urban growth boundary, I suggest that is more damaging to our supply of buildable land. No doubt in my mind about that. But there is another point to this that needs to be made, and that point is that the majority of the land that is acquired through these programs is through conservation easements, and the land remains in private ownership. If we would use the state of Washington for an example, from 1995 to 2003, nearly 60% of the land that was acquired remained privately held. From 2004 to 2006, all of the projects of Forest Legacy remained in private ownership. And as a matter of fact, all of that land is being preserved to maintain working forests with timber harvest. So I think that though this program has a lot of different uses, the land can be saved for any particular project that our state, through their assessment of need, deems appropriate. And I think that this is in light of a post-Measure 37 Oregon, where we see small woodland owners filing Measure 37 claims, and quite frankly, some of our larger forest owners filing Measure 37 claims to develop that land into residential areas, which we really don't have the infrastructure to support and would cost the state tremendous amounts of money if we were to endeavor to do that. I think that this bill is about saving our forests, and I urge you to vote aye. Thank you.
Those who are the opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Rosenbaum, how do you vote? Rosenbaum votes aye. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Boquist votes aye. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Butler votes no. House Bill 2468, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2284, relating to public employee retirement.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2284A, carried by Representative Schaffler.
Speaker, House Bill 2284A provides clarification to the Public Employees Retirement System, PERS, for situations in which members have been absent from employment long enough to incur a break in service due to disciplinary or other administrative action, but have been reinstated due to arbitration or another type of resolution. Break in service is defined as not working in a qualified position for 6 consecutive calendar months or longer. Unpaid leave does not count towards break in service, but paid leave, i.e. vacations, illness, or military leave does. It's a good bill. Urge your eye vote. Thanks.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close?
Thank you.
He is not. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Tomei votes aye. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Representative Greenlick votes aye. House Bill 2284A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's third reading of House bills be carried over to their proper place on Tuesday, March 6, 2007, third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended, that the memorials remaining on today's final reading of memorials and resolutions be carried over to its proper place on Tuesday, March 6, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 60 relating to Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action Service and declaring an emergency.
Bill read second time. It's passed the third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Any announcements? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Reminder to House Republicans, grab your lunch. We'll be caucusing right after.
Thank you, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A week ago today, you were all kind enough to help pass the resolution honoring Beaver Baseball, and the good representative from Eugene asked if we would be sure to recognize the Ducks when they had done well. And so as the representative from Corvallis, I wanted to congratulate those of you who are Duck fans on your Civil War victory this past weekend. Thank you very much.
Further announcements? Seeing none. Remonstrances? Any remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10:30 a.m., Tuesday, March 6, 2007.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until Tuesday, 10:30 a.m., March 6, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:30 a.m., Tuesday, March 6, 2007. Without objection, House is adjourned.